Take your Bible. Let's go to John chapter 1, if you will. John chapter 1. As Pastor mentioned, we're going to look at the life of John the Baptist and his declaration of the gospel. And we'll look at several passages today, so keep your Bible handy. But we'll start here in John chapter 1, and look with me at verse number 6. The Bible says there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He, John the Baptist, was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Every Christian in this room this morning has something very much in common with John the Baptist. Now, it's probably not your taste in attire, nor your appetite for food. The Bible tells us in Mark chapter 1 and verse 6 that John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of skin around his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey. Quite the guy. I had the privilege of serving with evangelist Joe Boyd for a couple of years early in my ministry, and Dr. Boyd was an evangelist, and I got to travel with him as his assistant. And every week in churches where we'd preach, he would do a John the Baptist contest. And he would take the adults on one side and the teens on the other side, and he would get them all excited about bringing visitors to the revival. And so it was the teens against the adults. It was a John the Baptist contest. And the loser, the captain of the losing team, he was the captain of one team, I was the captain of the other team, the loser had to eat dried grasshoppers, a John the Baptist meal. Now, Dr. Boyd was very competitive. He was an All-American football player at Texas A&M, won the national championship in 1939, and he was competitive, and it just, no matter what I did, I always lost. I think it had something to do with his math and counting every night, but I always lost. Some weeks he'd take the adults, I'd take the teens. Other weeks he'd take the teens, I'd take the adults, but he had an uncanny ability to figure out who was going to win before it started. And I always lost, and I had to eat those dried grasshoppers. Most terrible things I've ever eaten in my life. Most bitter taste I've ever put in my mouth. I can't imagine this man, John the Baptist, wearing camel's hair and a loin skin around his loins and eating wild locusts and honey. I don't think we have much in common along those lines. But what we have in common is our message. Our message of declaring the gospel. In fact, in verse 7, the next verse in Mark chapter 1, the Bible says, "And John preached, saying, There cometh one mightier than I after me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose." John's whole ministry, his whole purpose in life, was to introduce the Messiah, to introduce Jesus Christ to this world. John's purpose was to declare the gospel, to declare Christ as the Savior for the world. You know, the world needs some John the Baptist Christians today. You may be a bit odd to your neighbors. You may look different than someone else. You may seem a bit eccentric at times. You may not always follow the norm of society. But the world needs Christians today who don't care how the world labels them. The world needs Christians today that don't care about the stereotypes of church-going people or how we're treated or who will like us. But the world needs Christians who will declare the gospel. Are you wanting to be someone the world likes? Or do you desire to be someone the world needs? Let's look today at three levels of commitment in the life of John the Baptist as he declares the gospel. Three levels of commitment. First, we see John's humble place in ministry. Look at verse 19 here of John chapter 1. This is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he saith, "I'm not." "Art thou that prophet?" He answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." And they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchets I am not worthy to unloose." These things were done in Betharaba, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water." Now, in this introduction to the life of John the Baptist here in John, we see his humble place of ministry. We see a self-denial. In verse number 20, he declares plainly, "I'm not the Christ." They were looking for the Messiah during these days. They were counting on this one that was going to deliver them. And some perhaps thought, "This is he. This must be the one." And John said, "No, I'm not the Christ. I am the voice," he said in verse 3, "of one crying," or verse 23, "of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord." In verse number 8, we saw it in our text. He said, he was not that light, but came to bear witness of that light. Later on in chapter 3, he said, "He must increase, I must decrease. He that cometh from heaven is above all." You see, he was living a life of self-denial. Today, we live in an age of self-exaltation. We live in a day of the selfie. People can't take a picture of anything anymore without being in it. It's amazing to watch people take pictures. They have to be in the picture. The new buzzword now is self-care. We got to take time off from work to have self-care. Amazing. Can you imagine Peter coming to Jesus one day with James and John? He said, "Lord, the three of us have been talking. Do you think we could have a couple days off for some self-care?" I don't think they would have asked that. Because Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." You see, we live in a world today that's all about self. It's all about worshiping the creature rather than the Creator. It's all about us. And we're concerned about self today, but the message that John had and the message that we have today is not, "Hey, come and see Lancaster Baptist Church. Hey, come and see our preacher. Hey, come and hear our choir. Hey, come and look at our buildings." No, the message is not us. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. Self always wants to exert itself. It always wants to exalt itself. It also wants to elevate itself. All the time, we're worried about self. Instead of self-care, we need self-crucifixion. "I am crucified with Christ," Paul said. "Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." We see in John a self-denial, but notice also a singular direction. In verse 29, "Behold the Lamb of God." John's message was pretty simple. Jesus, a Savior, the Messiah, the one that will die for you, the one that will shed his blood for you, the one that will go to a cross and redeem you from your sins. The message of John was a singular direction. Look at verse 35 here in chapter 1. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and said unto them, what seek ye? I'm sorry, verse 35. And again, the next day after John stood, and two of his disciples, these are John's disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he, John saith, behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Just think about this for a minute. Here's John the Baptist. He's had an amazing ministry to this point. He has hundreds of followers. And one day as he's standing there with two of his disciples, Jesus walked by. And John says to his two disciples, two of his followers, behold the Lamb of God. And those two disciples followed him. When people get around us, do they desire to follow us? Or do they desire to follow Jesus? A singular direction. In a world today that prides itself with how many followers we have, about being one of the influencers on social media, John the Baptist was telling his followers, stop following me. Follow him. Follow Jesus. You see, friends, Jesus is the answer. We're not the answer. Church is not the answer. Religion's not the answer. Jesus is the answer. I am the Lord. Beside me, there is no Savior. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. He that hath the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the gospel. Jesus is the gospel. Jesus is the answer. Paul said, moreover, I declare unto you the gospel by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, how that he was buried, how that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. It's all about him, friends. A singular direction. Christianity, salvation, having your sins forgiven, going to heaven. It's all about a person, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. End of sentence, end of story, end of book. John's humble place in ministry. But notice secondly this morning, John's heeded principles in ministry. Turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter 14 in your Bible. Let's see another account of this man by the name of John the Baptist. Now, this account takes place a little bit later after John, and it involves Herod. And the Bible says in verse 1 of chapter 14 of Matthew, at that time Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus, and he said unto his servants, this is John the Baptist. He's risen from the dead. And therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. See, John the Baptist at the time of this account here in Matthew chapter 14 is dead. And all of a sudden Jesus is doing these powerful miracles. He's preaching this powerful message. And Herod is thinking, who is this guy? This reminds me of someone from history, this reminds me of John the Baptist. Is he risen from the dead? And Herod is kind of trying to figure this out. So now in Matthew chapter 14 here, the Bible goes back in verse 3 and following and reminds us how John the Baptist died. Look at verse 3. For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife's sake. For John said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have her. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod, whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed by her mother, said, give me here John Baptist's head in a charger. And the king was sorry. Nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. And he sent and beheaded John in the prison. And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel. And she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. Notice John's hated principles in ministry. We see here a principled conviction. You know, the world doesn't care as long as we're talking about heaven, or we're talking about love, or we're talking about peace, or we're talking about joy. The world's fine with our message. But culture doesn't want you preaching against sins. John the Baptist preached against Herod's adultery. He took someone else's wife. And John called him on it. And this wasn't John's preference about marriage. This wasn't John's personal persuasion about what he thought. His preaching against this act of adultery was based on the precepts of God's word. For John the Baptist knew God's word. And the Ten Commandments are pretty plain when it comes to adultery. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Do you have a commitment to God's word? Do you have a commitment to God's word no matter how contradictory it is in your culture? Because with every passing day, this is getting more controversial in our culture. What you and I are called to declare is getting more and more contradictory to the way people are living. And many Christians today, they don't want to take up this mantle of John the Baptist. They don't want to anger the culture. Let's just talk about love. Let's just talk about forgiveness. Let's just overlook all this other stuff. We don't want to name sin anymore. Adultery, drunkenness, drugs, lying, cheating, pornography, gossip, pride, laziness, homosexuality, greed. Oh boy, now people are getting nervous. The internet's blowing up as I speak. When we declare God's truth, it's going to fly in the face of a culture that's living contrary to that truth. You see, the word of God is quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Today, we want a Bible that accommodates our sin. We want a message in church that makes us feel good about our sin. We want the church to pat us on the back, say, we love you. We want a Bible that kind of vacillates with us, just kind of rolls with the culture. But the Bible has already stated its position. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the words of our God shall stand forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy word is true from the beginning. Every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. It's easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. You see, the scriptures, John said, cannot be broken. Here was a principled conviction. And it was coupled with a predetermined commitment. John died for declaring the truth. John was beheaded for simply following one statement in the Old Testament: thou shalt not commit adultery. And he wasn't going to cave or compromise on that statement, regardless of who was on the throne. If we're unwilling to die for what we believe, then I'm not sure we really believe it. And in this culture today, we better be ready to die for what we declare. It's fun to talk about declaring. Hey, let's get the message out. Hey, let's declare the gospel. It's wonderful. We get excited about it. But we better be ready to die for what we declare. The Apostle Paul, as Pastor preached about last week, he and his friends turned the world upside down with the gospel because they were willing to die for what they declared. I mean, they came to Paul. His friends came to Paul one day and they said, Paul, don't go down to Jerusalem. They'll throw you in jail if you go down there. You know what Paul said? What meaning to weep and break my heart? I'm ready not only to be bound at Jerusalem, but also to die for the Lord Jesus. You see, he said in Acts 20, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel, the grace of God. For to me to live is Christ, to die, that's a promotion. I'll take it. I am now ready to be offered, he wrote Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6. I'm ready to be offered. That word offered comes from the root word martyrology. It has the idea of martyrdom. Paul knew he could hear the clinking of the chains of the soldiers. They came to his cell to take him off to be beheaded. Paul said, I'm ready to be offered. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. A predetermined commitment. We see John's humble place of ministry. We see John's hated principles in ministry, but I love this last point. John's heavenly praise for ministry. Maybe what I'm preaching this morning is discouraging you. You're thinking, boy, I don't think I signed up for this. I'm not sure I'm quite ready for this. Well, turn to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, see one more account today with me in the life of John. Luke chapter 7. And let's read a little bit starting in verse number 10. I'm sorry, verse 18. Luke chapter 7 and verse 18. And the disciples of John showed him of all these things. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? When the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in the same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues, and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, Go your way, and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? What went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously appareled and live delicately are in king's courts. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. We see here in John the Baptist a wavering confidence. John is discouraged. John is beginning to wonder, was he really the Messiah? By the way, it's not wrong to talk about the human side of this. We're all humans. We all have vulnerabilities. We all have weaknesses. We are all prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. We're sheep, and sheep tend to go astray. The trials, the difficulties, the temptations in life oftentimes batter us. They batter our minds, they batter our hearts. And we wonder, is this worth it? Is this really going to pay off? Is this really the way to live? Is God real? Is the Bible true? Is Jesus really coming back? Amen. Is there really a heaven? The psalmist wrote of his vulnerability. He said, as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. You ever looked around and thought, why do all these people that commit all these crimes, why are they being rewarded? Why are these people that are living contrary to God's word, why do they seem to prosper? Why do they seem to get all the breaks? And here I am trying to be faithful to God. I'm trying to serve God. I'm trying to go to church. I'm trying to read my Bible. I'm trying to be faithful in my witness to my family and friends. And it just seems like time after time after time, it just ends up hitting a brick wall. And the psalmist in that passage said, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of my God. Then I understood the end. And that's what John's doing here. John is wavering. John is vulnerable. He's being attacked. What does he do? He sends messengers to Jesus. Go and ask him. Go and ask him. Art thou the Christ, he said in verse 19. Ask him, art thou the one that we're looking for? Or do we seek someone else? Are you the Messiah or not? And we see a witnessed confirmation. You know what's interesting? Jesus never answers the question. The messengers came and said, hey, John wants to know, are you the Messiah or not? Are you the one we're looking for or not? I mean, that was the question. John gave him a specific question to go ask Jesus, and they asked Jesus, but Jesus never answered the question. In verse 21, when Jesus was asked that question, it says, in the same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues, and of evil spirits, and unto many there that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way, and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor of the and to the poor the gospel is preached. Seems like a kind of roundabout answer to the question. Why did Jesus respond this way? Because he knew John the Baptist was a person of this book. They asked Jesus, "Are you the Messiah or not?" John wants to know. And Jesus ignores the question. He heals some more of the sick, touches the eyes more of the blind, helps the lepers walk. And then he says, "Go tell John what you've seen and heard. Tell him how the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the gospel's being preached." And he knew that would be all John needed, because John had read Isaiah chapter 32 and Isaiah chapter 45, where it said the Messiah would open the eyes of the blind. He would open the ears of the deaf. He'd make the lame walk. And he'd preach the gospel to the poor. You know, some of you are discouraged this morning because all you do is watch the news. How much time do you spend in here this week? You'll never be encouraged by the good or bad in politics. You'll never be encouraged by the uptick of things morally or whatever in this country. You've got to get your encouragement from this book. Amen. John the Baptist, that's all the answer he needed. That confirmation, when it came back to him, they said, Jesus didn't answer the question. He just said to tell you that we saw some lame being healed. We saw the blind. And John said, "Thank you. It's him." Because that's what they said he would do. And a lot of this stuff that's going on in this culture right now, it all makes sense when you read this. I mean, are we really surprised at what's happening? It's all right here. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things you've learned, been assured of, knowing of whom you've learned them. Get in your Bible. We fear all this controversy, all this uncertainty, all this chaos. As the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that which I please and prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Every promise God ever gave, every prophecy God ever gave in this book, it has come true or will come true. You can have confidence in this book. You don't need to read the news. Get rid of that news app on your phone. Get a Bible app. Get in this book. It's all happening just as he said it would happen. How in the world is the Antichrist going to take over this world if this stuff doesn't happen? It'll happen right on schedule. Our job is to be faithful to God. And look at the worthy commendation the Lord gives him in verse 28. "I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist." Wow. You think of the prophets. I mean, you think about Elijah. That pretty great guy. Elisha, Isaiah, Jeremiah. There were some amazing prophets in the Old Testament. But Jesus said there's not a greater prophet born of women than John the Baptist. Why did he say that? You know why? Because John the Baptist declared the gospel. John the Baptist was the prophet that came right before Christ. And John the Baptist was the forerunner. He was the voice. He was the one crying in the wilderness, "Make straight the way of the Lord." John the Baptist had that unique privilege of declaring Jesus Christ. And that's our privilege this morning. The only thing that will matter when it's all over, friends, is what God says about us. You can live your 70 years for the applause of man if you wish, or you can live your 70 years here on earth to hear that affirmation, "Well done," from the one that really matters. I know the world laughs at the gospel. That doesn't surprise me, because Jesus said they would. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. The world laughs at the gospel. But the question is, do you want to be in heaven someday or do you want to be in hell someday? Man, your friends can laugh you out of heaven, but they can't laugh you out of hell. And the world laughs at us for going to church today. The world laughs at our message. The world laughs at this salvation in Jesus Christ. They laugh, but do you want to go to heaven or do you want to go to hell? Christian, the culture thinks we're crazy. Culture thinks that people like us, we have problems. We are sick. We need help. They're labeling us all kinds of things. Just like they did John the Baptist. They thought he was crazy. But do you want the praise of God? Well, praise him in. There's only two choices on the shelf. Pleasing God or pleasing self. I miss Brother Weaver. He always sat right back here with his wife, Dee. Brother Weaver is a great man. Went home to be with the Lord this summer. Thought about him a lot this summer. Brother Weaver got quite ill last year. Lost a lot of weight, as some of you know. It's hardly recognizable, honestly. The last service Brother Weaver attended at Lancaster Baptist Church was in January. Long after everybody went home, Brother Weaver came to the lobby. And like I said, it was just hard to comprehend what was happening in his body so quickly. Now, remember, he said, "Brother Gatch, my family told me not to come today. The doctors told me not to come today. But," he said, "I haven't missed a revival meeting in this church since I started coming." He said, "I don't really care anymore what the doctors say or my friends say. I only care about what God says." A John the Baptist. And God's looking for more. He's looking for you. Do you want to be the kind of Christian the world likes? Or do you want to be the kind of Christian the world needs? The world needs John the Baptist Christians.